Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. Today I'm on the floor with Johan Jung.
Hey. What's up, guys?
So this is actually our first time meeting today, but I got introduced by a couple of friends actually, so I thought it'd be a good chance for us to just kind of sit and talk. Everyone said you were super cool and chill and had a lot to say, so yeah, you want to just introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Johan. I'm from Jersey currently, born and raised in Korea. And then when I was two, my family and I moved to Dominican Republic. We lived there for like 10 years. And then when I was 12, came back and then did a little bit of traveling and whatnot. But in regards to career-wise, I'm actually an artist right now, pursuing it full-time.
What kind of music?
I mostly do hip-hop. I'm dabbling a little more into like R&B, a little bit of singing. But I would say, majority hip-hop.
Okay.
Currently in LA.
You're in LA. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just to do your music then?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Cool. When's your next song?
My next song, it's still debatable right now with my manager, Dimitri. Shout out to Mock Posh label. It's potentially released November. It's actually going to have a Spanglish twang to it.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, keep an eye out. You speak Spanish?
Yeah, I could get around with that.
Really? Yeah. You want to say something in Spanish?
Dímelo a toda la gente aquí en Nueva York.
Oh, wow. Okay, see, I don't even know what you said.
Okay. I just said I was trying to joke, but that didn't work out. Sorry, you put me on the spot.
Okay. Then is your song going to be in Spanish, like the entire song?
No, it'll be mixed with English as well. Mm. But you'll definitely be able to understand if you listen to the whole track, what it's about. Mm-hmm. The track, it's actually going to be called No Me Llame, which means don't call me. Mm-hmm. It's more of like, you know, that love relationship, you know, when things get a little sour sometimes. Mm-hmm. You don't want to talk to your boyfriend or girlfriend or somebody that you have a relationship with. And so it's just like picking that scenario out and kind of creating it into a song.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. How'd you get into this industry?
You know, I actually grew up listening to a lot of classical music, and I did piano, violin, clarinet. I'm sure everybody who's listening has gone through that phase, being Korean as well. My mom was an opera singer too, and so having that was a really good foundation to like understanding like theories and the sound of music.
Mm-hmm. What do your parents think though about you pursuing this, like the music?
Right, man. Obviously, coming from an Asian background, your parents kind of like plan out your whole life for you from the get-go. You know, you go to Hagwon, you go to some type of summer program at a church or some community that's religious, and then from there they kind of like build you up to become like this top tier adult. Pretty much. But I would say for me, having growing up in so many different cultures, I think it allowed me to develop different personalities outside of the house, which was healthy, but at the same time unhealthy because, you know, I had a lot of fear showing my family who I really was, because it really felt like they had a specific expectation for me. Mm-hmm. But I would say as I started growing up, it was something that was a part of me. You know, me and my buddies would always walk home after school, always listening to hip hop on our CD player. Mm-hmm. Back in the days, we had CD players, by the way. We had Walkmans and stuff.
But, I miss the Walkman era.
Yeah. Facts. And then, me and my buddy would just start freestyling. Right. And then we start talking about like, we start acting like we were part of the artists that we looked up to's lifestyle, or we were part of their clique or something like that. And so I think that's how the passion started like stirring up or like building like a little fire. But what really kicked it off, unfortunately, was when my father passed away 3 years ago. this was when I was in college, actually, studying to be a wealth manager. And I had this internship lined up with Morgan Stanley and all of that. But watching my father go through cancer and seeing him pretty much just fade away, like in a way that's very not expected. Sometimes like movies, you always associate like certain situations with movies, but in situations like this, like an illness, like movies aren't really good at depicting it. And so it was definitely traumatic seeing somebody that you lived with from Dominican Republic to here. You know, those were the only, my mom, my sister were the only people that we stuck around for all these years. And so having somebody that's like a major staple in your life go away was like, okay, so what's next? And I think that's when I realized like life is so short, and everything that you think you want to do in the future, it's better to figure out how to do it now. And mm-hmm. so I think that's what really like pushed me to be really bold and pushing my career 100%. I think that's kind of how I started like the music career.
Wouldn't that make you want to stick to the more stable path?
Of course. That's why I wanted to study finance. I had this like plan to myself, okay, I'm gonna go to school. I'm gonna get the best degree that everyone talks about.
Yeah.
And you know, usually people talk about like money, wealth. Yeah. So I was like, okay, maybe I should be an accountant or financial, somewhere in the finance field. And then finally I decided to pick finance because accounting is just way too structured for me. So, and I thought maybe as somebody like a wealth manager, I could just talk to people, consult with them and make money and whatnot. But you got to remember, it's a very competitive field. So what that means is you got to eat, live and breathe that field. So you won't have room to think about, oh, now that I'll save up money, I'll be able to do something else. Because the thing is, you're going to have to hang out with those types of people. You're going to have to think about things to bring value to the company, things like that. So if you have the capacity, then yeah, you could do it. But personally, I didn't have that type of brain power. So
Because work does kind of become your whole life.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that was like, honestly, that was kind of me too, is my dad passed away when I was in high school. Oh. And I think for both me and my brother, we, for some reason, like it should have, like, yeah, it made us more focused on our schoolwork too. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, at least for me, it made me realize like how short life is. And it's like, if I'm going to do something, I think even my dad, like he would want me to do something that I love to do and just like pursue my passions and my hobbies. And so instead of going the traditional route of going like pre-med, I ended up becoming an English major and like going that route. And so I think that definitely was like a turning point, strangely enough. Same with my brother.
That's fine. Yeah. What is he doing now?
He's in grad school to be a teacher.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yo, that's so cool. Because my sister was going to be a doctor. And she was studying biology, but she's now a teacher as well.
Yeah.
She realized that, you know, as much as doctors save lives and whatnot, she had a heart to, like, pour into, like, teenagers as well. So I think that's so dope.
Yeah. No, my brother hasn't... Yeah, he was studying to be an engineer, and he just, like, made the switch to teach, which is, like, crazy. Yeah.
That's big moves.
He, like, really gave that up.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times we think that's like a step backwards, but it's not.
Yeah. He said there was always like a tug at his heart, and he knew if he went the route of engineering, he would have always like wondered, oh, like what if, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like that's something that a lot of like, I know, I guess it's kind of piggybacking off of like last week's episode. I kind of talked about with my friend, just like growing up in an Asian American family and like an immigrant family, like you do feel some sort of obligation or like responsibility to do what your parents want you to do, you know?
Exactly.
And especially if you don't come from a family that is financially stable, like you kind of carry that responsibility to like financially support your family, you know? So some people don't have that choice.
Yeah,
like they have to go the route of stability.
You definitely do.
Yeah. So it's like, I guess, I don't know, what would you say to someone though, like who is at that crossroads and like trying to trying to decide, because I think that's a lot of like my listeners, they are in that stage of their life when they're trying to decide like what to do.
Yeah. Well, I think what really changed my life was I actually had like a 3-year break right after high school where I moved to Arkansas. It was like a leadership academy where they trained. It was, the rector was like based off like an Air Force, I guess like a military background. And so like we did things like the Ironman triathlon, and then we would go like travel in other countries and build homes for rural areas. Within a month, like we built like 3 houses and like a septic tank. So it was like we were very like, it was an intense program. And honestly, I didn't want to go, but my sister and my family encouraged me to go. And I think in that situation right there, being stubborn and choosing not to go, because I wanted to go to Rutgers and I wanted to go exactly where my friends were going, and then I wanted to graduate with them. So I definitely agree that the people that you're around, it matters so much.
Yeah.
But I would say like what matters most is whatever's stirring in your heart right now, whatever is like pulling your gut, that vision or that dream that you have, I think that right there is a stepping stone to something that is more geared towards you. And so going back to that is, you know, you I would say like do something that does not involve anyone else but you. And I think for me it was going to Arkansas. That really popped the bubble of expectations, what I wanted out of life. And I realized like all of us are actually living in a bubble. And one way to get out of that is trying something that you never thought you would. Well, how about you? Like, I know like both of our father passed away, but you know, it's not just that kind of pushes us to keep going. Like, what do you think it was for you that caused you to be like, you know what, let me try this route?
I think it was also just kind of understanding who I am. Like, I know me, and I can't work a job that I don't enjoy. Like, I'd rather make nothing and do something I love rather than do something I just can't stand and make a bunch of, like, a lot of money. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like,
and at one point, you still had to do that, right? Or you were in that situation?
So, I mean, obviously, it's gotten to a place now where I'm learning that you can do what you love, but still financially support yourself.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah.
Like, there are ways. You just need to go out of your way to figure out what, you know, what those, like, ways are.
Heck yeah.
Right?
Big time. Yeah. Like, even right now, like, some of you listening right now, I'm sure you got, like, maybe clothes that you don't even use no more. You can just throw that up on Depop or, like, you know, offer up and just make a couple bucks a week. Like, even that in itself, like, people call that like vintage clothing selling, you know? I mean, going off of what you just did, like moving all the way from LA to New York, like that's a big, bold move. And I think that a lot of people need to do something like that. Definitely not like move coast to coast if you don't want to, but like getting out of your comfort zone, it's super big.
100%.
And you figured out a way to do it. Like, at the end of the day, our body's built to survive. And so, like, as long as you're not hindering yourself with other things or like some substance abuse or whatnot where you get addicted, you can actually focus on how to survive every day. And it'll teach you if you rely on yourself more instead of family or other things, you'll figure out ways to like, okay, I need to go to step 2. What needs to be done to do that? And so we do have that nature, but I think, I don't even know.
Yeah, that was good. Because, like, even for me, after I moved to New York, that's when I realized, like, wow, there were so many times I was back home and I was just kind of on autopilot. And, like, every weekend was the same.
Yeah.
Like, I love all my friends there. That's, you know, don't get me wrong. But, you know, same faces, same nights out, night outs, same, like, drive home, same workout classes. Like, everything was just the same.
Yeah.
And obviously, there are ways to get out of your comfort zone in your home city, but I think I just kind of needed a change of pace and a change of scenery.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what a lot of like my listeners too are always telling me, like, I really want to do this, like I want to move to a new city.
Yeah.
I don't know how though.
Yeah.
And I don't have the financial means, like how did you save up?
Yeah.
It's, you know, they're always asking things like that. So like,
exactly. And you know, it just to piggyback off of that, you might be the person in your circle that motivates everyone else.
Oh, yeah. There's the domino effect. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Once one person moves, like everyone's just kind of more encouraged to, or like they feel more motivated to get out and try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They start realizing, you know what? Like, oh, my best friend. Oh, they're actually over there doing this.
Yeah.
Man, maybe I should do something about what I really wanted to do too. Like, if you feel that, go for it. Like, just go on YouTube. That feeling in the stomach, what does it mean? Even typing that is like a step forward to something.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like even if it's just that small push, you need to ride with it. Because that was like how this podcast started too. It was like a thought that crossed my mind one night. Uh-huh. And I texted my friends, like Michelle and Frisia. I texted them. I was like, if I told you guys I wanted to start a podcast, would you guys be down to be my guest? And they were like, dude, like, do it. And Michelle, she like started researching all these articles, sent me links to equipment, and she was like, get this, this has good reviews,
there you go.
And then she like gifted me these headphones, and like, and then we just started. Like the next week we started.
Fine.
Yeah.
And those are, you know, I'm telling you, like, once you share to your friends what you want to do, you want to have friends that are super stoked to want to like build with you and want to help you out. And so, I mean, if some of you have friends who are always pushing you down, like, you know, always listen to them and figure out like what their intention is. But always remember, at the end of the day, you make the biggest decision on your own life.
Yeah.
And so
I think that's something I struggle with, though, because I do think I have a very like people pleasing mindset
me too.
Attitude where, yeah, like I can't really say no to people sometimes. Mm-hmm. So like I need to remember sometimes that, okay, like this is mine and this is my project.
Right.
I, you know, people can give me suggestions or whatever, but at the end of the day, like I have the final say.
Facts.
You know?
Yep.
And
yep.
I shouldn't feel bad
big
to
facts.
Say no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like your baby. So what if your friends came and was just like, yo, I think your baby should have broccoli soup, and you're just like
Yeah.
I mean, like you could just be like, oh, I really appreciate that, but I don't think my baby needs broccoli soup. So, yeah, like just remember it's your baby. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. No, but I guess also to kind of go back to what we were talking about, how, you know, choosing what you love versus what's stable / like quote unquote right.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is fine also to choose a path of stability, but then if you have something that you love, like turning that into a hobby too, because I have friends who do that, and I think that's like very respectable, and and that's hard too.
Yeah,
you know, like you don't need to necessarily monetize your hobbies. Like I feel like a hobby is a hobby because you just truly do it for fun, you
exactly.
know, and it brings you joy.
Facts. Yo, you preaching out here. Yo, crazy. Word.
I should write a song with you. He's like, hell no.
Hey, you never know.
So like I guess as like an Asian American too, do you ever feel imposter syndrome pursuing music, particularly hip-hop?
For sure. Before I like speak for the audience, you want to just like define it in your word what that means? I just
imposter syndrome.
Yeah
Let me do like the Google dictionary definition because I don't want to butcher it. So imposter syndrome, I'm just reading this, it's a psychological pattern in which an individual doubts their accomplishments or talents and has a persistent internalized fear of being exposed as a fraud.
Oh yeah, like I always feel that every day when I hop up on like a studio or like when I start writing music, things like that. Like I think that's one of every musician's biggest struggle. What will somebody else think about me?
Yeah.
What would they say about me behind closed doors and things like that? And for me, the reason why I like hip hop is because hip hop is like storytelling. Something that happened at like at when you were 5 years old, an experience that was like 5 seconds long, you can actually expand that into three minutes, or you can create that into an album. And that's the beauty of music, but hip-hop specifically, I love it because like it's just storytelling and you're sharing from your side, and because you're living, you know there's somebody out there who can relate with you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so even if somebody is not Asian, like, you know, the struggles like of being an immigrant, like, I think every immigrant can relate to something like that. And so, you know, for me, it's not to be so political, but maybe more so talking that's more emotional and talking about something that's missing. I think that's where you can share more. But man, like, imposter syndrome,
I think everyone feels that, though, yeah, to some degree.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what stops people from even starting something.
Exactly.
Is the fear that, like, oh, shoot, am I going to be, you know, am I even qualified to do this? Like, do people care? Like, who am I?
Yeah.
You know, those are, like, kind of the thoughts. And
yeah,
I think, yeah, like, honestly, I struggle with that even now. I'm just like, what? I'm not trying to give people advice. You know, like, I'm figuring it out. I don't know what I'm doing with my life right now either. So like, yeah, so when people do come to me and asking me all these questions and like asking for advice, I am sometimes afraid to respond because I don't want to say the wrong thing,
right?
And I think it's important to note, though, that, like, kind of like what you said, it's just sharing your experiences and like your side of the story,
right?
And if someone resonates with it, then, you know, you kind of did your part.
Exactly. And also, just one more time, piggyback off of that. Somebody that's like a few decades older than me always told me that if you have no fear in what you're doing, then you're living life too easily. So like, whatever you're doing, if you have to have like a tug of war in your heart and your mind. You have to feel that, and the best way, or you have to have that tug of war in your mind or in your heart, or if you don't, you're pretty much kind of like cruising in life. You're just kind of like autopiloting. So find something or whatever it is that you're thinking about. If that's bringing you fear, that might be a direction you should tackle towards.
Yeah, and I guess in a way you can turn fear into fuel.
Yeah.
Like totally.
I might write that.
Wow. Can you leave my name at the bottom?
Yeah, I'll give you some credit.
Yeah, because you totally can. It makes you want to go out and learn more then, because you want to strive to be better.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll briefly talk a little bit about my music career. I actually, right when my father passed away, I was in Korea. We had the, your career is crazy. Like, once you die, like, within 2 hours, like, he's already cremated. Like, how fast things just move. So it's just like the grieving process is not even like,
there's, you're no just time.
Like, yeah. But anyways, long story short, I sent an email to Morgan Stanley. I told them, hey, man, as much as I appreciate this upcoming opportunity, I'm going to have to not go. And that was really hard because, you know, it was a huge opportunity. Or like a beginning of like a new door. So when that happened, I came back home. I started trying to find people that were involved in music around my area. It doesn't even have to be famous people. Doesn't have to be super talented people. I just wanted to find people that kind of fit the vibe that I was going for. And then from there, I started like kind of pursuing them. And I started asking questions, and then from there they invited me over, and they invited me over, and then they asked me like, what do you think about certain things, and I started helping them with songwriting, and then from there I started hopping into their tracks, and from there they started helping me with my own personal. So I think as long as you're generous and what you're doing, that people are willing to help you back or reciprocate that for you. And I think that's what really kind of launched things for me to realize, like, wow, like, I think with the helps of my friends or people that I've met, like, something like this could be created. Fast forward a little bit, I shot this music video called Take You Back, some certain friends that I was meeting towards that time, they started seeing it, and they had connections also. There was a chance that I almost signed with one of Wu-Tang's family label called Wu Latino. And you know, I respect Wu-Tang for the utmost of what they've done and pioneered and all of that, but thankfully, because of my manager at that time, her and I, we read through the contract, and we realized, like, you know, I think they might have resources that could be beneficial. But at the end of the day, because I'm starting out, I'm finding my voice, I'm finding my sound, I still don't know what kind of direction I want to go. It might be best to have the freedom to find myself first before getting some sort of assistance from a bigger label or a different branch. And so we had to ask them, we pretty much told them we didn't want to be involved anymore. And then you guess what, like another opportunity came up where a good friend of ours, his name is Chris Martin, from Toronto, and his situation is called the post office. And they were actually in Jersey at this office where they do visuals and photography and creative, called Knowledge Productions. Shout out to them. And while they were there, my manager G got really close to one of the owner of Post Office, and he actually was so chill, super cool. They were actually in Jersey to show one of their artists and different labels in New York City. And they were like so open. They're like, yeah, you should definitely come check it out, whatnot. So G, being such a pioneer, she's somebody everybody needs to meet. Like, she's so loving, and she'll like unconditionally just fight for you. So she actually took a week off and went out there to really scope out the place, and she actually told me, like, yo, I think you need to really come here. And, you know, being from Jersey and New York East Coast, you know, we always got like that hard-headed, like, yo, we don't need nobody else, like, yo, I'm from New York, I'm from Jersey, we good. Like, but at the end of the day, I ended up going there, and man, it was life-changing. Like, once again, shout out to Post Office and that whole gang out there. Every day I probably spent like 14 to 16 hours just in the booth recording even like one specific bar or one specific line in a track. I was re-recording that, just trying to find the right pitch, right tone, and it just gave me the opportunity to do that. So this is what I mean by taking that boldness to leave your comfort zone so you can find yourself more. And so from there, I met incredible people out there that I'm still friends with till now. We shot like a music video there as well. But from there, we came back, and then she was just like, yo, I think LA might be the spot to go next. And by then, you know, like, trusting my manager, I was like, yo, I'm all in. And then from there, that's where I'm at now. I've been living there for about a year and a half, and I met amazing people out there. We were able to create a couple other tracks, two music videos just released, and yeah, that's pretty much how things went. But you know,
I mean, but I'm sure it wasn't like smooth sailing the entire way. What were some of the challenges and the struggles?
So I had a car, so I had to figure out how to make $400 a month from my car while I was.
What do you mean?
Well, like when I went to Toronto, I had my car in Jersey. So like you have
To pay for your car.
You have like different expenses. Like, I'm sure some of you have student loans. I'm sure other things. Mine was definitely student loans and car payments and credit cards. And so I had to figure out how to pay those off. And luckily, you know, like I said before, like we just have the survival instinct. No matter what, like if you don't want to fall back, you figure out ways to do it. And you kind of keep developing that. And that's one of those instincts that you'll develop more and more as you grow. And that was hard. Also, I think for me, I didn't know the lingo of like collaborating with other artists. You know, there's different types of vibes that you have to understand that I wasn't able to learn when I was young. And so like, luckily I had a manager that really vouched for me and really pushed me out there. And so through her, like I was able to grow so much in understanding how to like properly send an email even, or even like be on a phone call and be on a timely manner of, okay, like let's meet Tuesday. And then if it's a Sunday, maybe on a Monday, following up just to confirm that we're going to meet up on Tuesday at this time, because it shows that you want to be there. It shows that you're ready. It shows that you're prepared. And so, like, even the small things like that, not even that, also, like, being mindful if you're in a booth, like, if there are other artists, like, you know, walking by or, like, you know, popping in and whatnot, remembering, like, maybe they want to use it as well. And so, like, these are the things that, like, creates, like, maybe, like, a generous characteristic that people would appreciate in the long run as well.
Yeah.
They want to be around you. If you're that person who's just walking in like, yeah, I got this, and just stays there all the time, like, you know, I'm pretty sure, like, they probably won't want you around.
Yeah.
Because they know you're just going to be here, use whatever you want, and just leave. So that really taught me, like, being aware, having emotional intelligence. And I think any field that you guys are in right now, like, you guys have an opportunity to learn that too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even being generous, like, and so.
Yeah, emotional intelligence. That's such a thing thrown around. Even on Hinge, I see that all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone's like, what are you looking for? Is like, emotional intelligence.
Hey.
Yeah, that's such a thing.
Shout out to Hinge.
Okay, well, I guess we are going to kind of wrap up, but, like, can you tell us a little bit about any, like, upcoming things, like, cool projects coming up?
Yeah.
Like, what to look forward to and, like, what you're working on?
For sure. Well, what I mentioned before, I have this track coming out, No Me Llame. Definitely more of a Spanglish track. Also, like, a different vibe as well. If you guys have heard some of my songs, like, since 2017, you guys are able to see a little bit of, like, an evolution or a change. But, you know, I'm still finding my sound. And I think I did find that a little pocket where I can grow in. And it'll be this track that's coming out potentially in November. It could be the vibe that I might be pushing more and more and more. So yeah, definitely expect something in November or maybe December, somewhere around that cold month. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Where can people find you?
You can find me at 5282 Block Street. No, I'm kidding. No. You can find me on IG. It's just Johan Jung, YOHANJUNG.
Yeah, go follow him, listen to his music on Spotify, on YouTube. You have a couple music videos too.
Yeah, I got cool. A little 1-2 in there.
Yeah. Alright, well, that's kind of it for today. If you guys have any other topic suggestions or questions, or if you want to see more of Johan too, maybe he can, you know, come on a future episode.
Fine.
Yeah?
Yeah. Alright. Thank
well,
you guys.
That's it.
Thank you, Esther.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.